Welcome to Orchard Community Church's Sunday Morning Podcast. We are glad you are here. Today's message is brought to us by Melinda Hoyt.
Well, our passage today is one of the ways that God reveals himself to us. Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus makes several claims and statements revealing to us who he is. He says, "I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine." And in each of those conversations, Jesus is expanding on those and revealing something to us about who he is. Some of you will remember back in the Old Testament, long time ago, when God was using Moses to lead the Hebrew people out of slavery and into the promised land. And God spoke to Moses, and Moses asked the God of the universe, who shall I say you are when I go back to these people? You know, who do I tell them sent me? And God said what? I am who I am. Tell them, I am, sent me. So when we hear Jesus say, I am the way, I am the light, I am the bread of life, we need to lean in and listen. Will you pray with me before we dig into our scripture for this morning? Holy and gracious God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would meet us in your word this morning. We pray that our eyes would be open and our hearts would be open to not only see you, but believe in who you are and what you've done for us through Jesus. Amen. John 6, 35 through 40. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is this, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." So now, I love bread. Anybody else love bread? Love bread. But I think God must really, really love bread. Because throughout the history of the relationship between God and the children of God, God has consistently used bread in spiritually significant ways. Remember back to the book of Exodus when God saved the Hebrew people. Maybe you guys up front will help me remember this part. When God was rescuing them out of slavery in Egypt, and the people were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, and they were hungry, and they were starving, just, you know, wondering, where are we going to get food from? We were better off in slavery. And God saved them from starvation by raining down something. Ben? Manna, bread. God rained down bread from heaven and sustained their lives. The bread saved their lives. And every day, God gave them so much bread that their bellies were full. And he did this for 40 years, every day. And this was the history of the people in our scripture today. They knew this. Another time bread comes up, the Lord's Prayer. The children and I were studying the Lord's Prayer in January, and we thought it was really strange what God said about bread in the Lord's Prayer. You remember? He said, give us
this day our daily bread.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. Pretty weird. But the disciples were listening to Jesus, and they knew about that bread that God had rained down in heaven. So they knew that it had to do with God giving them their daily needs. But I wonder if there's even something more about that, that we were thinking maybe this daily bread, these daily needs were just our physical needs like shelter or food or water, but maybe there's something more that Jesus wanted them to think about with bread. Then there was the feeding of the 5,000. Anybody remember that story? So Jesus, and this happens just before this partner story too. So what did Jesus use to feed those people? Bread and fish. The story is found in the beginning of chapter 6 and also all the other gospels. And a crowd of people had been following Jesus, seeing him do miracles, and the crowd had been growing and growing, and the word was spreading about Jesus, and the people wanted to listen to him. They heard that he taught amazing things. And so Jesus goes up on this mountainside to speak to them and to teach them, and the people sat there for hours, the Bible says. Now, what happens to a group of people listening to a preacher for hours? They get what? Hungry. And Jesus wanted to feed them because there was no like 7-Eleven down the road, right? So he's like, what do we have? And all they could come up with was what? A little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. No problem for Jesus, right? He took that bread and it just multiplied and multiplied, and he was able to feed all of those people and have leftovers. Amazing, amazing story. Well, immediately after that story is where our story picks up today. But something that happens after that is the Last Supper. What did Jesus say about bread in the Last Supper? The bread is his body. So think about that while we're looking at our scripture. Verse 35. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Now the context for this is that this is the day after the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus had gone and withdrawn, which the Bible says he does a lot. He does something big and then he withdraws with the disciples. And that's where he had the little walking on water thing happen. And the people realize that Jesus is not there. This big crowd, full bellies, they realize he's gone. And they go off looking for him. And they know his boat is gone. And they find him on the other side of the lake. And they catch up with him. And Jesus says to them, just immediately before this text, when they find him, they catch up with him, and he says to them, I know you're only looking for me because you know I'm the guy with the bread. It must have been really good bread. He says to them in verse 27, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. They're chasing after him for the food, but they're missing the bigger miracle. They're chasing after the thing that they think they need. They're not chasing after the thing that they really need. These are the same people who had been present for the feeding of the 5,000 and seen other miracles too. And the people were focused on the bread itself and their physical needs. And they just want the bread. They were standing in the presence of God, dialoguing back and forth with Jesus. They had seen these miracles, and they just wanted the bread. I wonder how often Jesus is trying to get our attention with something big and deep, and our little human brains just see what we think we need. And then one of the people says to Jesus, okay, you said we're supposed to work for eternal life. What are the works that God requires from us? And this is key for understanding our passage today. Jesus tells them in verse 29 that the work that is necessary for God is to believe in the one that he sent. So think of all those laws and rules that the Hebrew people have been following all these years. And the work that is required of them is to believe in the guy standing right in front of them. They're standing in the presence of Jesus, the presence of God. They're seeing him do things that no human could do. And then they actually say to Jesus, this line is great, what sign can you give us so that we can believe in you? What proof can you give us? Because our ancestors, they got manna from heaven. What sign can you give? Don't you just wonder what Jesus was thinking? You adorable little humans and your little brains. You're standing face to face with me. You've seen me heal people and raise people from the dead. You've seen me feed 5,000 people with a little bit of bread. And I've told you that I'm the Son of God. I've done things that only God can do. And Jesus explains to them that God has given them the bread that comes down from heaven to give life to the world. And then they say, ooh, always give us that bread. That's verse 32 there. They just want the bread. They're thinking that this must be some good life-giving bread. Don't we all lose sight of the ultimate gift that Jesus wants to give us? And we get so caught up in what we think we need in any given moment. We hunger for all kinds of things, every one of us. We're hoping that our hunger will be filled by the next meal or the next drink, the next throw pillow from Target. And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. So what is the bread? Jesus says, I am the bread. It's not the regular bread that you need. It's me. It's my life that you need. And it's all you need. And it's more than enough. So just like how regular bread sustains our physical bodies, Jesus is the bread who sustains our spiritual lives. And what is that life? Jesus is talking about not our earthly life, but our eternal life. We think about earthly things with our little minds, and Jesus wanted these people, and he wants us, to see the important life, the real life. He said, you'll never hunger or thirst again. What happens after we eat a meal? We feel really full and satisfied, right? And then a few hours later, what happens? We're hungry again and again and again. Jesus is the only thing that can fill our hunger and thirst. Any addiction we have, whatever it is not going to fill us for life. Nothing can totally fill that hungry and empty feeling that we have. We always will want more food, more drink, more money, more friends, better GPA, more success. We always want more. Not even our children or our parents or our spouses can fill us the way that Jesus can. He says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry or thirsty again. Look closely at verse 35. Who is it who will never go hungry? What does it say in verse 35? Who will never go hungry? Whoever what? Yes, whoever comes to Jesus and whoever believes in him will never go hungry or thirsty. So it's whoever comes and whoever believes. This is the work that Jesus was talking about just a few minutes before this. And have you ever thought of coming to Jesus or believing in Jesus as work? That's our work. But it is work. Look at the world we live in, right? The world we live in is messy and complicated and full of distractions and deceptions, and coming to Jesus is not that cool, right? The world tries to give us all these other pictures of what is cool. So coming to Jesus is work in the world we live in, and believing in Jesus requires taking a leap because we can't see him the way that these 5,000 people were standing there looking at him could. Have you ever thought it would be much easier if we could just see Jesus face to face and see him do something miraculous, then we could believe? I think this passage proves that even when he's standing in front of us and we've seen him do all the stuff, we miss it. But if we want this life that Jesus offers, two things are required: coming to Jesus and believing in what he's done for us. So if you want to help yourself do the work of coming to Jesus, grab a pencil and write things down. And if you want to help someone else come to Jesus, write these things down. These are things you can do that will help us come to Jesus and bring other people to Jesus. The first one is fellowship. We were not meant to be believing all by ourselves. We are meant to be in a community together, and this is really key. It gives us people from whom God can use in our lives to strengthen us and encourage us when we get weak in our faith. There are lots of ways that we can come together and fellowship. Just from listening to Matt this morning, I heard things like there's a game night coming up, and we have all these different ways we can serve. So many ways, Bible studies, different ways that we can get involved and meet people. You could even stay on the patio for like 15 minutes after church and dive into a conversation with someone. So fellowship. The second one is praying, just talking to God like you would with a friend, and building that time together and building that relationship, telling God what you want to tell God, and also leaving time to listen. And along with that, a quiet time. Our world is so noisy and so full of so many different voices that we really just need to tune everything out for a few minutes. Maybe it's something you put on your calendar, quiet time with God. And this is something that's really easy to model for the other people in your household too. In my house, I have a chair, and next to it is a Bible and a journal and some pens. And even if my kids don't catch me sitting in the chair and having my quiet time, they know that I did. And we can let other people see that we have God in our lives. Reading the Bible, being in the Word, it's the more familiar we get with God's Word, the more familiar we get with the life that Jesus has for us. And the more we fill our heads with Scripture, the more God can use that Scripture to speak to us throughout our lives. So fellowship, prayer, quiet time, reading our Bible, and then moving in the world like Jesus, or acting like Jesus by serving and peacemaking and giving and telling others about Jesus, seeking justice and healing and humbling ourselves and being welcoming of others. All these things are ways that we can try to be more like Jesus, and being more like Jesus helps us to come to him. The big one is worship, beginning our week together in worship. It's the rhythm that God intended for us to have. And by getting in God's rhythm, we are opened up to so much more. Not only do we have that fellowship growing with one another, but we are showing God the priority that we have for God in our lives. With God at the center of our lives and at the beginning of our week, it really can get in our minds how to come to Jesus. Coming to Jesus is the first part, but believing is the next part of it, and that requires a leap of faith, and that can be kind of scary because we're believing in something that we can't see. We can only see through our like peripheral vision, kind of like looking at an eclipse. You can't look straight at it, but you can kind of see the things, the pattern around it. I want to share with you a conversation that my youth pastor had with me when I was struggling with taking that leap of faith. And I don't know if it'll help you. Hope it doesn't hurt you. But this helped me. His name was Rusty, is Rusty. And he said, okay, if you live your whole life believing in Jesus, and at the end of your life you find out it's not true, what have you lost? So maybe with all the offering that we gave, we could have had more vacations, better car, something like that. Maybe you were kind to people and you didn't need to be. Maybe you spend about 2,000 or 3,000 hours in church or community service when you could have been doing something else, but you made friends, you had fun. Maybe you were paying more in taxes because you were honest. But if you live your whole life without coming to Jesus and without believing, and at the end of your life you find out it was all true, every bit of it, what have you lost? Everything. If you're struggling with believing, I encourage you to do some of those things on the list because they can only help us. And if you are just needing to take that leap, I encourage you to do it, because God will speak to us with the people that we put in our lives, with the scripture that we get in our heads, with the time we spend in prayer. God will be able to speak to us. Verse 37, the greatest promise for us. Jesus said, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those that have given, that those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. Life. For my Father's will is this, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Come, believe, and help others come and believe too. Amen.